Friday.
Tonight's main event.
Freak out, yeah. Well, let me tell you something, brother.
Tonight, on the main event,
you got lust in your eyes.
What you gonna do when Hulkamania runs wild on you?
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
But it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Boom, yeah!
Here we are once again, on the eve of a pay-per-view weekend. This time, it happens to be Elimination Chamber. My name is PC Tunney. I am your commissioner of thechairshot.com. And we bring you the special edition of Friday night's main event. I am joined by many a peoples this Friday. First of all, let's bring him right in, right away, the kingpin of thechairshot.com, none other than Greg DeMarco.
What the fuck are you doing? I'm eating. I never go first.
Now you do.
Sorry. My apologies, Mr. Platt.
Thank you. Maybe that's my lemonade or whatever the fuck he says. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's always with us.
Mama made me mash my M&M's
with additive. And
of course, you're the man playing the sound effects right there. It's none other than the chair shot architect. It's him. It is him. It doth be DPP.
Back again for another Friday night's main event, PC Tony.
And then, of course, we have the internet wrestling community war chief, I believe it is. None other than Andrew Belaz, Snowflake Balls.
You said it that time, but you're right. It was good.
We need to start introducing Andrew as the managing editor of thechairshot.com. So that is his job now.
There you go, folks. So if you have anything to complain about,
that's right.
You just check out Andrew on the Twitter.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
It's all his fault. Now you're going to hear about him.
And you're going to hear about him, Andrew.
All right, well, let's get to it. A very special edition
what
here
a dick!
Right now on Friday nights.
You're jumping.
Resident disgruntled wrestler of Chairshot.com. Son of a bitch.
Why, because I wasn't going to introduce you?
Yeah.
I'm going to do it right now to get into your shit.
No, I don't care. I was supposed to get... There was supposed to be a round of applause of some sort.
It was all going to happen right there.
No. I had things planned out. I was going to say something witty and funny, and now it's all gone. God damn it. Even when Christopher Platt's not here, his ghost haunts me.
Yeah, I got to tell you, whatever I was going to do, that was way better. DPP, roll it.
We take you back. God damn it! I didn't know there was applause coming that time. Do it again! Oh, Court, now there's awkward silence. Jesus. What kind of shit show is going on tonight? I'm not even drinking.
That's the problem.
That probably is.
That's the problem.
Just follow your instructions, damn it.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
If anybody wants to listen to the Outtakes pre-show, I've got those recorded where you demanded your intro, and you wanted it that way, and then you come out and you yell at PC Tunney, what the fuck?
Oh, those were Outtakes? I thought that was going to be in the first part of the show.
I keep those for later, so if anybody wants them, they got to pay me, and then they can get those released. So, you know, I got to make my money somehow.
But you have to pay DPP and Fabergé eggs.
Oh, I do have a, you know, kind of a problem.
So what does the Fabergé egg Patreon look like exactly, DPP? A whopping 35 cents.
I was going to say about Tree Fitty.
There we go. Damn it, Nessie, pay him up.
Is that about Tree Fitty?
All right,
we take you back. Oh my god! I'm just gonna
going to mute my mic, so it's not going to be me. Aesop, it's all you, buddy. It's not going to be my fault this time.
Thank you.
On this episode of Aesop's Kayfables, rather than do an interview, I shall tell you a very interesting tale. We take you back to last Saturday, a day of rest for most people. The Aesop Kayfable begins now.
I am the fabled one, Aesop Mitchell.
Welcome to the next chapter of Aesop's Kayfables.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. Partake in libations and listen.
I'm waiting for my round of applause.
Aesop's Kayfables begins now. Last Saturday, the Fabled One ventured up to Green Bay, Wisconsin, home of many things. Winners, successful football teams, and a very, very interesting match between the Fabled One, Aesop Mitchell, and former WWE superstar Swoggle. So, to start off, we hear the lovely theme song of the Fabled One. Swoggle is already in the ring. As I approach said ring, I turn and look, and I notice that both Swoggle and referee TJ Ace are dancing. Slow dancing. Very, very close to each other. There was no room for Jesus there. Of course, the Fabled One will have none of that. So he turns and looks and finds the sweatiest, oiliest, and downright disgusting man in the crowd. I won't know who that could be. We'll give him a name. I think his name should be Kenneth. For Kenneth sat in the front row of WPW, and he looked deep into the Fabled One's eyes. I walked over to Kenneth, and I picked him up, and I gently positioned myself into some form of Austrian waltz. We danced for a little bit, and then I see Swoggle dip referee TJ Ace. Why, how could I top that, you ask? Well, I did what any self-respecting wrestling persona would do. And I turned to Kenneth, and I planted my two lips right onto his own. And the strangest part, he did not resist one bit. So naturally, I plugged all of my merchandise and made sure Kenneth bought as much as possibly could. And then a match happened or something like that. So, you know, that was pretty much the long and the very short story of Aesop Mitchell and Swoggle. Thank you, everyone. Tune in next time for more hilarity at the expense of the Fabled One.
That was amazing.
Questions from the gallery.
I have a question. Is there a buzzer or something that Dan can ring? We have a question. I have a question. I apparently have a question that is late. So, so based on your story, did Swoggle receive the jobber entrance on Raw where he got no theme music and was the already in the ring enhancement talent? Was that Swoggle?
He had that little promo entrance where he kind of talked for a little bit, and he's got a lot of an amalgamation of all these theme songs. It's like three jobber entrances combined to one.
I do love how everything you talk about Swoggle is short or little or, I don't know, diminutive.
Punitive. Well, puny. Tiny.
Punitive.
I mean, yes. What puny, are you getting
puny at? Puny and punitive. Really. Nothing. What? Okay, nothing?
I'm curious. Where are you going with this line of questioning?
You live in New Jersey. I don't know.
Thank you. Thank you. That makes complete sense. You're right. I blame the Nets, and that's why they went to Brooklyn.
Do you blame them?
Yes. Yes, because Van Horn got hurt, and that just ruined everything.
Did you? When they
just
left?
Just make a Keith Van Horn reference? Holy shit.
Pretty for the Bucks, too. He has a dealership here. Van Horn Chevy.
Well, look at the time right there.
Didn't he once get like $1.5 million just because he hadn't retired yet and someone needed to use him in a trade?
Yes.
I believe so.
Yeah, we're all working men, working every day trying to get
whatever
by.
Happened to Nick Van Exel at that point? You know, let's just bring up random jobbers of the NBA for the
moment. We see Nick Van Exel at a Harley dealership on 60th and Layton. Santana Dotson was there too. This is the honest God truth. This is about 5 years ago.
This is a terrible story.
Latrell Sprewell needs money, so maybe we can involve him in his dealership somehow.
I know a lot about Latrell Sprewell. He actually fucking lives in Milwaukee.
My dad installed carpet into his mom's house.
Who else you want to know about?
Do all bad NBA players come here to die?
No, they started here, and then they come back to die.
Jesus Christ.
It's like a bunch of NBA players. It's like a bunch of NBA players and Mr. Kennedy living there right now. It's great.
Mr. Kennedy!
Hey, don't forget Screech from Saved by the Bell, too.
He lives there, too?
Port Washington. I partied
Dustin
with him
Diamond?
I partied with him at New Year's Eve one time.
Oh, my God. Cool dude, let's not even... Dan, should we just move on, Dan?
We don't need to talk about Screech any more than we have. Okay. Unless you got a Saved by the Bell on AC Slater story, but then otherwise, no.
No, I don't. I don't.
AC Slater.
I won't even. Let's move on.
He also tried to kiss a lot of men that night, along with a lot of women, too.
That's where you were going with it. Okay.
Are there any other questions for Aesop?
Keep them short.
Did your dance partner's breath smell like Tostinos or Doritos? Platt wants to know.
It actually smelled like KFC catering, which wasn't any better.
KFC catering.
That's awesome.
Did you know KFC catered, guys? I didn't know that.
I guess.
I think somebody went through the drive-thru, brother.
Yeah, I was going to say, they just got four buckets instead of three. An extra side of mashed potatoes.
Kenneth definitely was holding all the mashed potatoes, either inside his body or inside his shirt. We'll never know.
So it brings up a different, I like that, a different question. What's from your experience in the ring and in the locker room? What was the best food you received at a wrestling show?
And
what was your name?
The most well-catered wrestling show. Sorry, I just stepped on Andrew's joke. My apologies.
The best catered wrestling show for sure has to go to Mondo Lucha. They run about once or twice a year, and every single time the promoter does a really good job at taking care of all of us and loading us up with pizza, water, drinks in general, and it's always a blast. Not to mention, who doesn't like to wrestle at Turner Hall?
True. Speaking from experience,
which none of you have.
Exactly.
Not over there, definitely.
I've been to Turner Hall for wrestling events. It's excellent. So I got your back, Aesop.
It's even
something like wrestling on the 35th and Mitchell Library, though.
Oh yeah, there you go.
That was a blast. That was probably the most entertaining place I've ever wrestled. Of course, I really want to get up to that. Heidenreich versus Doink the Clown outside of that Golden Corral level.
That was great.
That's just fantastic.
Dynamite dropping, Monty.
All right.
There you go. That thing. Thank you for your honest answer.
I do what I can.
I catered the two events that I ran. We had one of them was a place called Samurai Sam's, which is basically chicken, rice, all that kind of stuff. We brought that in. And then the other one, we were sponsored by an Italian place. And so they brought in a bunch of pizza, salad, and drinks.
Is it Olive Garden?
No, a local place by the name of Queen's Pizzeria. It was two doors down from the venue. It was worked out perfectly. They also sold pizza show and all that stuff. Yeah. Sadly, Samurai the guy who... Sam's. Yeah, Samurai Sam's, good stuff. Sadly, the guy who I knew at Sam's or that Queens that got us a deal eventually no longer works there, but not for that reason.
R.A.P.
Yeah.
In pepperonis.
Drowned in pepperoni. Couldn't eat his way out.
He was stealing pepperonis, probably.
Yeah. He put him in favorite his pizza. He knew the difference.
Favorite style pizza, and what do you put on it and in it? Transition here. Go ahead. I'm putting balls on the spot.
Hey!
I got my balls all over this spot.
What spot are you putting balls on?
Apparently the pizza. So that
I want to know his favorite kind of pizza. He can order any kind of pizza he wants, and he can put whatever he wants on it, whether it's pan, deep dish, thin crust, whatever toppings. What do you order?
Pineapple.
I'm in Jersey, so you know it's going to be a New York style, not a Chicago style or anything like that. And it's going to be chicken bacon with ranch dressing. Like that shit is the bomb.
All right. I'm going to go back.
I'm going to go pizza. You can't put ranch dressing on a New York style pizza. Like, they'll kill you.
No, but it's whatever he wants. It's whatever
he
wants.
Been to New York? They do whatever the fuck they want. Half of them suck.
I know how much you love New York because you live in New Jersey, a place that doesn't have its own shit, only has shit.
Hey, we got a shore that New York comes down to, and Philadelphia has to come over to because all they got is trees and more.
Does like a New Jersey style pizza have like cigarette butts on it?
New Jersey style pizza was purchased in New York.
Wow. We all know it's got pork roll and scrapple on it. That's a New Jersey
style. Yeah. Dressing.
And like scratch-off losers as well, right?
the extra thing is, instead of the garlic or the salt or whatever you want to put on there, you just scratch off on top of it and nice. Mm.
The blood as nice your thing. Neighbor, blood of your neighbor as the sauce.
You're assuming that we talk to our neighbors.
Ah,
have you been to neighborhoods in New Jersey?
I never assumed. The only thing I assumed was that that neighbor was murdered in some way, shape, or form.
The beauty of New Jersey is that the demographic is a little bit of everything. You've got like the southern portion. You've got the Detroit portion. You've got Princeton, which thinks it's New York. You've got every place in North Jersey that. So you know. Wherever you go, you get a totally different feel. You might not remember you're in New Jersey until you sniff the air, and then you know you're in New Jersey.
like Gary, Indiana.
Oh, what God, did Gary do in Indiana? Sure. Oh, just, yeah, that's a topic for another day. I'll leave everybody my favorite pizza, Chicago deep dish. Sorry, Andrew. Sausage, mushroom, and spinach. Excellent. Love me some Chicago deep dish. That's DP, your favorite pizza.
Let's see, what else we got? Well, we had Chicago style, we had New York style. What else is there? Is there like a Californian style pizza?
Totino's pizza rolls.
Are you not a thin crust fan? Or are you not like a Canadian?
Canadian bacon, Italian sausage, Mexican bacon. What other
Mexican bacon? Is that made out of donkey instead of pig?
What?
I do use Mexican chili powder.
They're called burros, not donkeys.
Yeah, it's burro meat.
God damn it, DP. Just tell us your favorite pizza.
Thin crust, sausage pepperoni, preferably from Ned's Pizza down on 27th in Oklahoma, baby. Yeah, hey. Brother.
Shout out to Ned's.
Aesop knows where that is.
I do.
All right, Aesop, your favorite pizza.
I'm not a huge pizza guy, to be completely honest. I burnt through pizza. Wait. I have a legitimate reason for this, okay? One, I used to work for Toppers back in college, in which I used to get pizza like free pizza every freaking day.
I'm gonna say the same thing.
No, that's top offs. That's top offs. Top
it's
off.
It's a pretty big, it's around a lot of colleges.
Yes. I was at the busiest one over by UWM, which was like a nightmare. And trying to get a tip out of those Jesuits at Marquette is impossible. back in high school, I used to do this like elementary tour with like a band and orchestra. We always used to stop at Pizza Hut, the Pizza Hut buffet, and have a pizza eating contest in which I won every year and progressed from starting at, like, I think like my first year was like 41 pieces of pizza in 45 minutes and wrapped it up with 57 my senior year. So I'm like done with pizza.
That's impressive.
You're like the Joey Chestnut of pizza.
Dude, it was awful. And then every single time we always stopped at, like, the next stop was always J.E. Jones.
A bathroom?
In which I destroyed that bathroom.
Yeah. There we go.
One time, I, like, I was done in there, right? So I leave the bathroom, and some poor kid came in and instantly left. He instantly turned around and was like, I can't. No. And I just watched him, and I proudly saluted him as he, like, gave me the look of, like, what the hell died in there? Holy God.
He should have saluted you. He should have been saluting you for that.
I don't know how to find this kid, but he's the one who's going to kill you.
You know what? He probably died of gas, like, poisoning later on.
Yeah, toxic air.
Yeah.
It's a silent killer.
Brings a whole new meaning to mustard gas. That was a pun! Come on.
All right, Mr. DeMarco, finish off this topic and take over this podcast, please.
So I worked at Pizza Hut in high school as well. And so I literally spent, you know, many hours of my life scraping pizza toppings off of my shoes and shit like that after work. So I don't do a lot of toppings anymore because of that reason, despite, you know, that having been a long time ago. So for me, I would get a good white pizza, you know, having grown up and being born in New York, good white pizza. Mix of different cheeses, including some ricotta cheese and a little bit of spice, and that's about it. Like, I don't go heavy in the toppings, although sliced meatballs, not the stupid crumbled beef topping, but actual sliced meatball on a pizza are fucking delicious. And recently, I had a white pizza with, you know, ricotta cheese, sliced meatball, and just a mix of cheeses on top, and it was fantastic, and it was delicious. These days, I go with a thinner crust because I'm 41 years old, and that's what you have to do to be smart in your life. But by the way, everyone said a pizza except for Tunney, who I believe mentioned a pie or a cake or something like that. What is Chicago deep dish pizza? Is not real pizza. It's like fucking dough with stuff on top of it. Like, it's not pizza.
I don't know about that, dude.
What about the pizza puffs? I'll say that is my choice. Pizza puffs.
How about the pizza in a cup at the Wisconsin State Fair? Does that count?
That's a thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot. There's a lot of things.
If I can't choose deep dish, then I'm going with said very thin, crispy crust with cheese, sausage, mushroom, and onion on it.
Oh. Totino's pizza rolls, motherfucker.
All right.
No, it's down. Not. No, that's, not pizza that's, rolls.
That's got to be a soundbite, DP, right there. Totino pizza rolls, motherfucker, has to make its return on the show.
It's not delivery, it's DiGiorno.
I'll take it.
That was absolutely beautiful. Okay, let's talk about some wrestling.
Use your head.
There you go. Do we have any transition music now that we can use to start talking about wrestling? Like, I feel like we need something to
try. We can certainly do. Yeah.
Chris Benoit.
You want Chris Benoit?
Christmas Benoit.
Wow.
How about a commercial first?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, enough is enough, and it's time for a change.
Fan of Eugene, right?
Ooh. This is definitely Chris Benoit music.
Yes. He was not a nugget.
If Chris Benoit came out to this music, he might have been more mild matter.
Oh, here you go. How about this one?
Got to be like the sexiest theme in wrestling right now. Like, that's got such a good beat and everything to it. Ah, right. Oh, so nice.
That and Andrade Cien Almas, his theme song.
Is
I just beat that. Zelina Vega's coming out, so you know that's
okay, Zelina Vega makes everything sexier.
She does. She does indeed. So since you played the Velveteen Dream theme song, let's go there real quick, even though it wasn't on any of our agendas, because he made the tweet where he said, "Allow me to shoot for a moment." And I loved it because I would say, and they'll go back and, you know, everyone likes to rewrite history. Probably 75% of people who read that tweet thought it was really a shoot. And it wasn't until WWE.com actually reported on that people realized, oh, we've been worked. Although most people then said, I knew it wasn't a shoot, but I just loved it. So what do you think about this storyline angle where he's going at it with the quote-unquote indie guys taking their spots and then where it's leading to? And we'll let the indie guy in the room start with Aesop and let us know what you think about this type of angle. You know, in NXT, of course, where it can work and what you just give us your impression.
Well, I just want to state that the minute that he said, allow me to shoot for a moment, right, we all knew it was a work, right? I mean, right?
We did. We, the five of us, but I don't think everyone did, that's for sure.
But I do love it because I love Velveteen Dream. Patrick Clark has totally changed himself, and I'll be completely honest. When he first came out, I was like, who is this shitty prince wannabe? But it has grown on me so much, and the minute that I saw him put Aleister Black's name onto his pants, I was sold. That is phenomenal. It's a phenomenal angle the way that he did. And I'm excited because this definitely means a lot of big things for Velveteen. I don't know where exactly, whether it be, you know, maybe Roderick Strong or maybe even Adam Cole. I don't know yet. But this is exciting for me.
Yeah, I really like it too. I think it's very few people get to do this because you can only pull this type of an angle so many times. PC, what about you? What do you think about where this is going to take us with Mr. Dream?
He's on the positive ascent right now. I think this is just going to set up storylines within television for him. I think I put out the message in communion. You know, it was funny. You know, people are all over this and the fact that everybody comes from the indies, right? Nobody starts in WWE.
Some do. And he, it's funny because he calls himself a homegrown talent. He was an indie guy in Maryland, right, and stuff like that. But, I mean, you look at – there's certain people on the roster. Like Lars Sullivan never wrestled a match in his life before going to the Performance Center. You know, there's plenty – Dolph Ziggler never wrestled an indie match. He was a product of developmental all the way through. But that's what I love about it is everyone's going apeshit about it. It's like, now, he wasn't an indie name, so to speak. Like, he didn't have the big indie following, not until Tough Enough and everything else. And he's kind of like a Tyler Breeze, who, from what I understand, may have won one match in the indies before he was signed by WWE. Like, he was an undercard, you know, guy who enhancement talent in a lot of ways, but they saw talent in him, and now he's living the dream. So it's definitely something that... Well, that's the other thing, Dan, and we'll ask you that question, like, I don't think people realize this. The man has the word dream in his name, and the affinity that Triple H and the company has for Dusty Rhodes, like, to be allowed to have the name Dream, it has got to be a big deal, you know, and have meant something. They knew they had something in him before he ever debuted if they let him use the word Dream in his name.
Oh, most definitely. But,
do you see him getting called up at any point in time? Because I don't. I think he's such a perfect NXT product. I don't know how the hell he would fare in front of a main roster crowd. And that's what kind of scares me for him, because
I don't think that he'll resonate as well with if he does ever get brought up. If he stays down in NXT, though, I think he can be fantastic. But as far as a main roster guy,
you don't think Velveteen Dream can make it on the main roster?
I personally don't. I think he gets caught in, called up for spots here and there. Maybe like an Andre the Giant Battle Royal, maybe a Royal Rumble. But as far as a permanent main roster guy, I just can't see him there.
I mean, looking at, you know, who he was before and Patrick Clark and what he did and how he transformed himself, I think he might be able to make any adjustments needed for the main roster. Honestly, the biggest drawback for me, and I hate to be that guy because I've never done it, but I think there's some issues in the ring for him before he goes to the main roster, like the match with Cassius Ohno. Like, there were some issues, and it wasn't with Cassius Ohno. I think he'll fix those things. In fact, I think he should spend a lot of time behind the scenes with Cassius Ohno, and probably does, to fix that, because I think that's the guy who can really help him out and probably help a lot of people out, to be honest with you.
I don't mean as far as wrestling technique-wise. I'm talking about character-wise. I don't think the Velveteen character necessarily works in that main roster setting. I think he needs that more intimate setting that NXT does provide.
Well, the beautiful thing, I guess, with the Velveteen Dream is the fact that he's only like 22, I think. So where NXT, we've seen most people spend a year or so and then go up. Velveteen could be the longest tenured NXT wrestler and still make it up to main roster by the time he's 25, which is still young as hell. So you have a point that he's not going to move up the same way that we've seen Rude, Nakamura, and Hideo Itami and all them others, but he doesn't need to. He can stay there, he can get his pedigree, he can get his grooming in, and then he'll still be fresh and he'll still be young and still have 20 years left in his career when he does come up, whenever that happens to be.
And he's the kind of character, too, who doesn't have to do much because the character's so big. So it's interesting. I've not heard that, and I respect what you're saying, and I think, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. Like, I'm the one who always said Bayley would suck on the main roster, and I still think I'm being proven right. But you know are. I'm in the minority by a lot of people. Because I just thought it was a small stage act and not a large stage act, and everyone did they love Bayley, and so that's why they hate me for saying it. But that's just what happens sometimes. But I think he could be an NXT talent for a while. One thing I will say is that the one thing we can learn from Ty Dillinger is eventually they're going to pull you up. I mean, the NXT is still there to fill the main roster, and that has not changed. Even though it really serves two purposes, it is its own brand, but eventually you got to go to the main roster. And that's the reason why they pulled up Ty Dillinger. It was even said, like, he could have done more in NXT, but it was like, okay, it's either... Now, he had been with the company off and on for 10 years, Ty Dillinger. So it was like now or never for him, and he's there now. I would love a Velveteen Dream entrance at the Royal Rumble. Just, you know, all of a sudden everything goes purple, he comes out. He could have such a long entrance, especially at the next year's Royal Rumble, where the entrance is going to be long because it's in a baseball stadium. He could possibly not even get to the ring before the next person comes out. And not in the way of like Heath Slater, but just because he's taking so goddamn long.
He just crawls on all fours to the ring. I'd love that.
Which you can, if you play it right, and maybe the next one to come out is like a Rusev, high energy, does his jump scream, and then just runs and runs past him. Doesn't even attack him, just runs past him. In fact, maybe they could see how many other people get to the ring before Velveteen Dream, not because they're jumping him, just because he's taking forever to get to the ring. That would be great. I would love to see that. But no, I think it's a great point and one I had not considered. And now I'm really intrigued. And I think it'll be a while, like Andrew said, but I'm really intrigued to see what happens with Velveteen Dream when he does get the eventual follow-up.
The current incarnation is such an indie product. And that's again, what scares me. In indie wrestling, that's what NXT is. It is the embodiment of indie wrestling. That's where gimmicks lie. Once you get pulled up into the main roster, you have to become a real person, whether it be in some sort of outlandish fashion, something like, say, Drew Gulak. You know, Gulak is doing fantastic things being a ridiculous person, a ridiculous male wrestler. Velveteen Dream, though, he's way out there right now, which I think is why, like,
something like Sanity hasn't been brought in right away yet, because they're still kind of working out the kinks of the gimmick to a actual wrestling faction.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that's what NXT is for, and that's why I love it. You know, you even look at, you know, like Roderick Strong. They did little things here and there with him. And he's talking about a guy who'd been out 15 plus years before getting there. They still had to do some stuff before they brought him up to 205 Live. You know, Buddy Murphy. I mean, until they announced him for 205 Live, and the rumored name was Leo Rush, which I thought was crazy. But yeah, all of a sudden, they're like, Buddy Murphy's coming to 205 Live? Like, what the hell? And, you know, and then people are calling him a Kenny Omega knockoff because of a fan-made poster where Buddy Murphy was pointing. But they completely changed Buddy Murphy. And I don't know about you guys, but, like, I believe in Buddy Murphy in 205 Live. Like, he makes sense to me. You know, and he legitimately lost 15, 20 pounds so he could be on 205 Live, just like Cedric Alexander. Like, they're still maintaining that realism that you have to be 205 or below. I'm excited about it. I think we've beat that topic to death. We're obviously going to talk about Elimination Chamber, but before that takes place, we did have the Raw Gauntlet, which I know there's some talk about that, obviously, on Chairshot Radio this week. But a couple things. The topic came up recently. Someone was talking about another show. I don't remember which one it was. But Ric Flair used to go around the world performing for an hour everywhere because, you know, the whole point was he went to the local territory. And the way he put their guy over was to go Broadway, to go 60 minutes. Their local guy, local hero, took Ric Flair to the limit. He still got to leave with his championship and then go. And he did this all the damn time. And in the modern day and age, it's crazy to go 60 minutes. Like, no one really does that anymore on a grand scale. And here on Monday Night Raw, Seth Rollins just did, like, the modern day, you know, version of that, going an hour and 5 minutes and doing so with Roman Reigns and John Cena. And that's where I think is being lost a little bit amongst a lot of people. Who are the top two guys in Andrew? Who are the top two guys in terms of a push in the WWE, in terms of name value in the WWE today?
Cena and Reigns.
Who did Seth Rollins pin during Monday Night Raw, back-to-back?
The aforementioned people.
Yeah, like, it's crazy. And Seth Rollins, like, I guess the big question I'm posing is it's almost hard to not believe at this point in time that they haven't positioned Seth Rollins to almost be looked at as one of the best in-ring performers in the world. Like, to do that, to beat those two guys clean. And so I guess the big question now is what? What do you do?
Are we not setting up Seth Rollins to be moved over to SmackDown and carry that brand in the next WrestleMania year?
I hope so. I mean, I've been touting Rollins to SmackDown for a while. You know, the two biggest moves I personally want to see. My playlist is Seth Rollins to SmackDown and the Usos to Raw. Like, those are the two biggest ones that I've been touting for the longest time, because I think Rollins, yeah, AJ Styles is the face that runs the place, but AJ and Seth Rollins in the same brand for a year could just be fantastic. I really do think so. But what do you guys think besides PC? Like, what do you guys see for Seth Rollins out of this? Let's just go just to WrestleMania.
I don't know. This is tough, because we talked about this before. You know, every guy that he was supposed to wrestle got injured. And he's stuck with nothing for WrestleMania right now. You know, after missing two WrestleManias in a row because of injuries, he comes back, and now he's going to miss. He's going to lose out on a WrestleMania spot because everybody else got injured. And it's unfortunate for him, and he's just stuck in that spot right now where he's not in that main title picture, and yet they want him to be a top star. So what do you do with a guy like that right now? It's almost, you know, you almost got to try and get through WrestleMania. And this is the perfect way to do it, to make him look like a legitimate top star. He just beat the top two guys in the company. And now, you know, once this WrestleMania is over, he's got opportunities at title matches for the Universal title. And then, you know, I could definitely see him moving to SmackDown. I kind of assume they'd keep all the members of the Shield on the same brand, just for the fact that they can always bring them together at any point when they want to. And I could see him moving over. I like Finn Balor moving over, because I'd like to see the Balor Club over there. And Balor versus AJ could be a huge, you know, moneymaker for the whole summer if they wanted to do that too. If you bring in Seth Rollins, that's another one. You know, you got enough big talent on Raw to carry that brand, obviously. that you can give up a couple of those big guys. So I'm almost just at a point, it's a wait and see for Rollins. It's kind of, we'll get you something for Mania, and then we're going to do something for you afterwards.
And as far as Rollins is concerned, I don't see him moving off of Raw anytime soon. I think that he's kind of the next guy for to hold that. What the hell is it? The Universal the belt
title.
Over there? I can't.
It's the Raw title.
I can't. I don't remember names like that very well. If one member of the Shield is going over, to me, I think Dean Ambrose plays that role best. I think he fits the SmackDown personas a lot better. I'm just glad that Rollins isn't teaming with Jason Jordan, for the love of God. You know, we can all be thankful for that. I don't wish Jason Jordan any injury. I know. Shut up, PC. He's trash and you know it. Put your hand down and quit looking mystified.
Juliet, Oscar, Romeo, Delta, Alpha, November, Jordan.
Juliet, Oscar, Romeo, Delta, Alpha, November,
Jordan.
Foxtrot, Uniform, Charlie Kilo. Fuck you,
Yankee,
goddammit.
Oscar, Umbrella.
I wasn't going anymore.
Kaete, to Pichibo, Bigoto.
Oh my God, it's getting deep now. Jason God. Jordan was trash for Seth Rollins. He was pulling him down, and it was not a good look. I think Jason Jordan is best either getting put back into some sort of trio faction with Gable and Benjamin, or he can go back to pushing that fruit basket that he did for TLC and just interrupt things.
That was the most over he's been this entire time. So that's the point.
It really was. He can just throw lettuce at people all fucking for the 3 hours of Raw.
Jason Jordan, the heckler.
So let me ask you guys this question. So with the gauntlet going nearly 2 hours and everybody loving the hell out of the gauntlet and being so unique, especially now with the rumor that it was Vince McMahon who was behind the whole thing, does it hurt the Elimination Chamber? Andrew, does it hurt the chamber?
It could. Like, it's the problem is like, I didn't love the gauntlet as much as other people did because it was paced poorly. It was slow. After Cena got knocked out, everybody just wanted to see Braun, so that diluted the rest of the matches. So blah. From fan perception, it could. If the Elimination Chamber doesn't live up to the hype and destruction of Elimination Chamber and jumping off a cage and breaking pods and all that other stuff, then it could actually have, in retrospect, hurt the pay-per-view because you just basically gave away a portion of the pay-per-view. So, it could, or Elimination Chamber could go above and beyond. So, I don't know, it's a tightrope that they're walking, and I don't really know which end they're gonna end up on.
PC?
Let's move it on over to DP.
DP!
I just want to be honest with you. I'm reading, I'm on the chairshot.com right now, I apologize.
Shameless plugs!
How could you?
Ultra clear, black plus white.
What?
I didn't do that.
What?
Was that on the chair? That wasn't me. Are you playing the chair?
That wasn't me, I swear to God. No, I'm on my phone.
You did it.
It also is excellent mobile.
Hey, look at that.
Yes, it is.
Mobile responsive.
Right. Saves your white clothes from yellow stains and black clothes from white.
That's not me!
Are you sure? What is that? Just random? This is random.
What the fuck? I think the architect is just reminding everybody who's in charge here.
Skype is eating some Tide Pods.
Pass it over to me, will ya? I got some commercials. I got random commercials to play that have nothing to do with our sponsor.
Look, you got the chair shot right here on my phone. See?
Hey, there's the Jeff Hardy article.
Clear, but sure.
That's right.
So
Aesop. Rescue us.
One thing that it will for sure hurt, I don't know whether it does Elimination Chamber, but it hurts Fastlane. How does SmackDown take over a fantastic pay-per-view like that? You know what I mean? To have that build-up, you know, especially before it. I don't know if it hurts Elimination Chamber. It
really does depend on the end product and whether or not each person in the Elimination Chamber, one, deserves to be there, because personally, I don't think Elias does. And two, if each person gets a fantastic pop throughout the match of the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's funny because WWE is a copycat company in a lot of ways. And in the back of my head, I'm like, what are the chances SmackDown turns their five-way into a gauntlet match sometime between now and Fastlane? Like, that would not shock me at all if WWE does that. That's just kind of the thing they do. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But we've got a few minutes left. Let's talk about Elimination Chamber itself, because we got a pay-per-view coming up. And let's, you know, give the people what they want. And that's, you know, some picks and choices. Matt, confirmed today, which Andrew, even as we did our picks, put it out there as the likely scenario, which is Titus Worldwide challenging the Bar. You can give picks, you can give analysis, whatever you want. But what do you think is going to happen here? Andrew, start with you.
I mean, I still don't take Titus Worldwide seriously as a contender. So I think the Bar kind of has to finish that off and get them out of the way so that the Hardys, the Revival, or the Club, or somebody that's more established can, like, ascend to the number one contender and actually give us a match that people care about.
Tony?
Yeah, I completely agree with Andrew, actually. There's no way that we're going to see a changing champion here. Just carry on. Go ahead.
Dan, DPP.
You know, I'm assuming that we're not going to get any of this Revival, you know, anybody good, the Club, or anything good match at WrestleMania. I'm thinking we're going to get this gauntlet tag team match where they can just get everybody on the card, and we're going to have a, you know, a 50 tag team match at some point. So, you know, I imagine the Bar is going to come out with this one, and that's where it's going to kind of lead to, because there's nothing else going on for the tag team division on Raw. So I see the Bar just holding on to it, and we'll have some wacky match at WrestleMania on the pre-show, brother.
Aesop, your hair's growing back.
I'm sorry, I fell asleep at the six-hour idea of WrestleMania, which is obviously what it's leading to. Unfortunately, it's got to be the Bar. But come on, Apollo! Apollo, baby!
Only one name. No.
We're not allowed. Space Shuttle. Who are we talking about?
We shall not speak of that last name for obvious reasons. If you have not done your due diligence.
But I like Mission Impossible and Top Gun. Tom Cruise is awesome.
No, don't say that word. Don't say that name. We don't.
Penelope Cruz is real pretty.
No, we don't. There's only one thing we shall reference in Florida, and that is NXT. God damn it.
So all the college kids that go out for a club that has the whole rowing with the oars and the people, what were we call that now? Because we can't call that the other way.
Coxswain!
Swing! Oh, yes! Swing! Okay, Aesop, is Cruz a worse word than... Is it a worse word than Benoit?
Ben what?
Okay. Here we go.
Let's not compute. Okay, so I'm the odd man out here, and then Andrew, I submitted my picks to Andrew. I picked Titus Worldwide. We have 6 weeks until WrestleMania after this takes place. There's no, they could easily see the Bar winning it back somewhere along the build to WrestleMania. It's a tag team title. They don't care about this belt that very much in WWE. And Andrew said it himself, Titus Worldwide is not a credible contender for the championship. And there's two ways the WWE makes you credible. Number one, it's winning. Beating the champs in a non-title match, and number two, it's winning the actual titles that you didn't have the credibility to win. So I can easily see Titus Worldwide taking it. This isn't even my favorite version of Titus Worldwide. I would take Apollo, no last name, and Akira Tozawa as a tag team over these two any day. Or is he just Akira now, or just Tozawa? I don't even remember.
He's 18.
It's actually Rato at this point.
Rato!
What the hell did you just say?
Anyway, real quick pick going around the circle. We have the Miz Taraj versus the Club. I'm going Club. Anyone not going Club? Speak now.
Miz Taraj.
I
I mean, it doesn't matter. So, shit, I'll pick the Mizdirage too, just to be different.
I'm keeping silent.
Oh,
but you just
not Switzerland. You have to pick one. Come on.
No. He's. I'm going off of what. God damn it! Yes, of course the club. God.
Clubbing it up, brother.
I will not. Brothers. I will not watch Bo Dallas win anything anymore. You don't. No.
Bo did. It's a former NXT champion.
Bo leave.
That was before NXT was a big deal, though. Come on now, let's be honest. Wow. DP, we'll
bring
start
back
with you.
The social outcast, damn it.
That's right. That was a good gimmick. DP, we'll start with you in the next one. It is, of course, the match that I'm not even excited about anymore. Bray Wyatt versus Matt Hardy.
Where's my other guy?
Wonderful!
I am going with the Woken One. I'm assuming this is going to be the... He gets his win back from the loss that he had on the 25th anniversary of Raw, and it's going to lead to an extended storyline to WrestleMania. I read on thechairshot.com Jeff Hardy is probably on his way back, so maybe they incorporate him somehow. But I imagine they're going to have their rubber match at some point down the road here, probably WrestleMania. And we'll go from there. So, Woken Matt Hardy.
Delete!
Yeah, well, that, God damn it, DP.
Delete.
Yeah, after all that, I'm picking Bray Wyatt. Because I think by WrestleMania, we're going to see Jeff and Matt Hardy back together doing the whole Woken thing together. That's my take on it. And if you don't like it, then you know what? Think real hard in your brain and try to...
Delete!
Andrew?
We don't believe you, Tony. You need more people.
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
But, yeah, I'm going Hardy off the same logic that DPP had where... Bray won at 25, so Hardy's got to get the win back because WWE loves 50-50 booking. And who really cares? All they do is giggle at each other.
Aesop.
Congratulations, WWE will now, after having ruined the Bray Wyatt character and giving it no credibility... They will take an over-character of Woken Matt Hardy and ruin that for the next 2 years. Yes.
I don't think these two are wrestling at WrestleMania, by the way. Not against each other. I just the card is only so long. It's only 6 hours. You can't possibly fit every match on there.
Challenge accepted.
House of Horrors Part 2. And we get him into the Bates Motel.
Bray Wyatt's going to build
we have Randy Orton's refrigerator in that match.
Yes.
Maybe for WrestleMania, maybe they film something between Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy at the compound and just kind of stream it throughout the show.
Bray Wyatt's going to start taking it over.
Senior Benjamin? Ooh. Ooh. No, Senior Shelton Benjamin.
Oh, God.
That would be amazing. Are you kidding me?
And slightly racial at the same time.
Yes, only a little bit.
Senior Benjamin himself was also slightly racial, so it's okay. Even if he's just happens to be a gardener. Okay, so Nia Jax versus Asuka. Is Nia ready for Asuka?
No!
Well, that's all our votes right there.
Yeah, we're good. Next.
PC thinks she's ready for that's his girl.
I picked Asuka, but I mean, yeah, I hope she wins here, honestly. I think it's time for her to hold the title. So we'll see what happens. I don't know in what way or capacity they're gonna make this happen. Obviously, if Asuka's moving over, I just don't understand how you put Nia into the Raw women's title picture at Mania if she loses to Asuka here.
Because they got 6 weeks. There's 6 weeks from the chamber to fucking Mania. WWE doesn't care what happened 2 weeks ago. It's very easy for them to put her in there.
You expect WWE to make sense when Asuka's promo said, I beat her a couple weeks ago, and then the announcement team was like, oh, she's never met anybody like Nia Jax before. Oh, golly jeep willikers. Pip, pip, cheerio. Fucking
that's like, remember a couple weeks ago when Alexa Bliss was cutting her heel promo with Kurt Angle, and Kurt Angle surveyed the crowd and was like, do you want to see Alexa defend her title in the chamber? I completely wanted Alexa to grab the microphone and be like, do you want to see Brock Lesnar defend his title in the chamber? But obviously that would make the WWE look like shit, so they can't do that. But that would have been perfect heel move for Alexa Bliss to do. It's just that storyline doesn't allow for it.
You talk too much.
Thank you, Asuka.
In the fucking bell.
Women's Elimination Chamber match. We know who's in it. We got Bayley. We got Sasha. We've got Mandy Rose, who I think I wish she would win, but she probably won't. Sonya Deville, Mickie James, and Alexa Bliss. PC.
I got Bliss just because that's the way we're going here. I mean, somebody has to take that title from her at WrestleMania. She's too important not to be holding that title at WrestleMania, coming out at WrestleMania holding that title.
DP?
I think this is going to be a really good match. We talked a lot about it on ChairShot Radio, that this is going to be the first opportunity that the women get to be in the Elimination Chamber. And so this is going to be, you know, pretty awesome. And once again, though, as much as we love it, we know Vince McMahon likes to ruin moments like this, just like he did for the first ever Women's Money in the Bank when he had James Ellsworth climb up the ladder. So
who?
That guy. The Chinless Wonder.
And he's intergender champion. Give him a break.
So
hey, you watch your mouth.
So I definitely see Alexa Bliss coming out of this with the title, but I see Carmella coming out after the match, cashing in her money in the bank, and defeating Alexa Bliss. But she's going to have the shortest title reign, I think, because they'll give it back to Alexa 1 week later. Because I know there's no way Carmella's holding that title into WrestleMania, so it's going to be turned over really quick, but it's a shot. It's a good opportunity to have her move over to Raw, have her have a big moment, and end Elimination Chamber on a really interesting note.
Unless she's accompanied by a returning cast.
Which won't happen. Aesop, what do you think about the Women's Elimination Chamber?
I see the one person that holds the single most power winning, and that's Michelle McCool.
Hey, if the last thing you watched was Royal Rumble, he's got a point there because they put her over like Rover.
They made
her.
Bob, give me Mama Baby Mash My M&M's. Come on, pop on that one.
What, you want the...
All right. Mama made me mash my M&M's.
With attitude, bitch.
Yeah.
Bitch. I love it. I love it. Balls. In honor of Platt, balls.
Thank you. I got stuck in the fantasy booking playlist and kind of rabbit hole for this one because the fact that Raw ended with Alexa and Mickie kind of realizing they need each other and Mickie playing the buddy-buddy thing, it would be kind of nice and give you also another avenue to bring Trish back, either for Mania or for another push or just an appearance or something like that. If Mickie ends up screwing over Alexa somehow towards the end of this match when Alexa thinks that she's got it locked up and they're buddies and then Alexa's going to screw her, but Mickey's one step ahead of her. Mickie goes in, she tied Trish's record at 7, she'll put on a good match with Asuka. She's still a pretty big draw herself. You can have Trish come out as like a, you know, come out with her, put her over a little bit. There's a lot they can do. There's a lot of meat on that bone for WrestleMania spectacle bullshit. So, yes, I'm going with Mickie because I got stuck in fantasy booking land.
Special guest enforcer.
You know, the one legend who looked the best at the Women's Royal Rumble, and many of them did, was Trish Stratus. Like, she looked amazing. She looked like she could still do it. I would love to see a Trish Stratus WrestleMania run. What if everyone's wrong? What if the surprise in WrestleMania is Alexa Bliss versus Trish Stratus, and then Nia wins the belt the next night on Raw?
Ooh, here we go.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
As long as we don't have to see Kelly again in a wrestling ring, I'm totally okay with that.
Ever. Just never, ever.
There's a lot of places I'd like to see Kelly Kelly, and none of them are wrestling right now.
I was going to say, I wouldn't mind my toe in that pool. Just not wrestling. Yeah, she could be in a wrestling ring. It's all right.
Her name is Barbie. True. She looks like a Barbie. It don't work for me. Can we move to the next question?
Whoa, yes, look at those gumbos.
I just wanted to play that.
Right up my pooper.
Hey, try not to shoot that puck up my pooper.
Men's money in the, or excuse me, men's elimination chamber. You threw me off my game there, eh? Let's do this, okay? We all know who's winning this match.
Andre the Giant.
What's the big surprise? What'll be the big surprise coming out of this match, and who does Roman eliminate to win?
I'll go first. Nothing, and who cares? God damn it! I'll take Platt's role right here. Fuck this. This is a stupid topic. No one cares about it. I'm not putting you over. You can suck my asshole. I'm kidding.
Greetings.
It's Roman. It really doesn't matter, does it? I mean, they got to have Elias look somewhat credible here, and that's about it. Everybody else is going to go off in their own storylines. It's going to be Braun and The Miz. Finn Balor is probably going to end up in a six-man match against The New Day. So who really gives a shit? And then you can say whatever you want about Cena, Rick. That's all I got. We all know it's Roman. That's who we all picked. I don't mean to cut everybody off there at the knees, but you already read it on thechairshot.com. If you haven't been there, well, then, you know, you should always use your head and just go to thechairshot.com.
Well, there you have it.
What if, let me put, what if the women somehow break one of the pods during the women's elimination chamber match? How does that possibly then factor into the men's? Like, you could easily have, you already got three guys starting. Now you got a broken pod. Maybe you got four guys starting because one guy can just come out whenever the fuck he wants. Like, I'm just really trying to think of something that could possibly happen.
That would be funny as hell if it's Elias's pod. So even though he's supposed to go in last, as soon as Braun goes in, he just pulls him in and throws him into the ring. So it's like, fuck you, you're in now.
Or what if he gets stuck in his pod with the guitar? He gets stuck in his pod with the guitar, and every other pod is broken. So they're just sitting there listening to his... him, like, strum the guitar for 25 minutes waiting for him to come
out. That would be great.
They have Braun. Braun will break it. It's fine.
What if we start the match and Braun Strowman's in the match for the first three, and like I said on Chairshot Radio, he's going to destroy everything in that chamber, and he just tosses the other two guys through every pod and smashes the pods open at the beginning of the match, so everybody's in right off the bat.
I would love it. I would love that. 100%, I'd be behind it.
The only thing I'm expecting is a curb stomp off a pod at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Ron lifts the cage.
The entire cage.
The chamber?
Yes.
He lifts the chamber?
The entire thing.
It loses a foot when he drops it.
And at the top.
Oh, yeah, why not? Play it. Go ahead, play it. Let's do it.
Oh, boy. Who's gonna be the one? Oh, I think we already know that. This is a very special Friday night main event edition of Braun Strowman's Favorites.
I don't ever have to have... You don't ever have to ask permission for this one.
Nope.
That's what she said.
Let's do it like we did last time, Aesop. I'll pretend not to know, and then I'll tag you in.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the sensation that's sweeping the nation. It's Braun's Favorites.
This is why I need that as an actual soundbite. All right,
DP. I'm gonna remind everybody what happened last time on Braun Strowman's Favorites. We asked Mr. DeMarco and Aesop Mitchell, the tag team known as. I'm not sure yet. We'll have to, maybe by the end of the podcast, we'll figure this one out.
The Fabled Drunks.
I don't drink.
Well, I don't know. You guys, neither of you drink.
I know. I don't drink either. I'm with you.
You're right.
But we're the ones who are behind Jinder Mahal. You can just call us the smartest guys in the room.
Okay, well, the smartest guys in the room.
We'll call them how about the game show? Nerds.
All right. Last time it was, what was Braun's favorite thing to cut in the summer? And the answer...
Cheese.
Mr. DeMarco would have been...
I know. Do you have it or do I need to say it? I need to say it.
You have to say it.
The answer was the...
All right, DP, why don't you delve in for one slightly more difficult there on your list of lists?
Slightly more difficult. Well, I mentioned the cheese, so my question to you, Mr. DeMarco, is...
And Mr. Mitchell.
What is Braun Strowman's favorite kind of cheese?
I think I know.
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one. Braun Strowman's favorite kind of cheese. This is going to be a six-person tag team match.
It's like six-man title, baby. Hey!
That's right. Yeah. You're the trio champions here on the Chair Shot Radio. So I'm gonna tag in Aesop, and if he doesn't know, he can tag in Andrew. It'll be great.
Oh, no. I have thought long and hard, and I just don't know it either. So I will tag in my trio's partner, and it's going to get Balls Mahoney up in this bitch.
Going balls deep on this question.
Okay, so my guess would be, is it Parmesan?
Oh, we'll have to go back to Mr. DeMarco.
You might have to make a tag.
I think he wants the hot tag. Yeah, okay, the hot tag. He has got tag, so he can go home. He can make the go home run here.
Make the go home. I take the shine. PC, ask the question again. You know how we do this.
What is Braun's favorite cheese, Mr. DeMarco?
Well, Braun Strowman's favorite cheese, of course, would be Parmesan.
And that will do it for another edition of Braun Strowman's Favorite.
That's great.
You know what's funny is I think when we do our random Skype calls, they make me do this. Like, this isn't even something that we have to do on the air. Like,
oh, wait, you guys don't always do this on the air?
Well, no, we gotta have dry runs. You know how you practice. You gotta work out the moves before the match, you know, to make sure you're all
on the same page. This is wrestling, Andrew. Everything to work. If it makes air, it's a work. You know this?
I wasn't sure how deep we went with it. Like, Aesop's the only credible one here, so it's okay.
All deep.
Oh, we gotta have dry.
Let me bring you down the wrestling run. Entrance ramp of the work. Do your own entrance music.
My balls are always bouncing, thank you.
That's interesting.
To the left and to the right.
To the left.
Different song, but still good reference.
Very, very good. That's a well, dynamite drop in there, Monty, as I believe what these guys like to say all the time. So wonderful. Well, that's going to wrap it up. I mean, we're hitting right at time to finish the show this week. We appreciate everybody. Aesop, the one actual professional wrestler in the room, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us on this special edition of Friday Night's Main Event. We appreciate it, as always. So, PC, start with you. Share the social media.
All right, everybody, go to thechairshot.com. Always use your head and go to thechairshot.com. Always use your head and go to thechairshot.com. You can check us out at Chairshot Radio on the Twitter. You can find me at PC Daily Dozen. Also, DP.
At It's Me DPP on said Twitter.
And Mr. Andrew Belez.
IWC Warchief on the Twitter.
And of course, the fabled one himself, Aesop Mitchell. Tell everybody where they can follow your fabledness.
I am at the_fabled_1, all in lettering.
Yes, O-N-E.
On the Twitter.
And don't forget, For any comments, questions, concerns you may have, you can email us at chairshotradio@thechairshot.com.
Of course. And I am at chairshotgreg on the Twitter as well. You can even email me, gregdemarco@thechairshot.com. And go to thechairshot.com where I'm trying to stall so that either PC or Nick can get it ready. Christopher Platt loves to remind you to do something.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
With what, Dan? With what, DP?
Oh. With attitude, bitch.
Bitch.
And that's going to do it for this edition of Friday Night's Main Event. We'll see you next time. Enjoy the show. Thank you for coming.